Hare Krishna. So Govardhan Leela. Why is everybody here in the middle of a Wednesday afternoon? This is Govardhan Puja next to Krishna Janmashtami is the most lively event, from my experience, most spiritually joyful event of the whole calendar year. It's such a nice event. Would you like to know why it's such a nice event? There are some spiritual reasons why it's a nice event besides so much prasadam. In this leela, Krishna does something very unique. And that is, during the 7 days that he's holding the hill of Govardhan up in the air, he is allowing all the residents of Vrindavan, all day long, 7 days, 7 nights, to see him with unbroken vision. That's unique. Because ordinarily, Krishna is in different times of the day with different of his associates. At night when he comes back from herding the cows, he leaves the cows. He leaves the cowherd boys. They've been with him all day long. And they're so happy, but now they're so unhappy. The feeling of separation. But all day long, the elder gopis have been feeling separation. Now they're with Krishna. They bathe Krishna, put new clothes on Krishna, new ornaments on Krishna, first garland on Krishna. They bring nice prasad and feed Krishna and Balaram with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda. It's a big festival. And then they put Krishna to rest at night. Then in the morning, waking Krishna up, again, Krishna gets dressed, and then he leaves. He's with the cows and the cowherd boys again all day long. And they're so happy. And everybody back at Nandagram is so unhappy. And somewhere in the middle of the night and sometimes in the afternoon also, the young gopis, they get to associate with Krishna. But otherwise, it's separation. Sometimes there's a science in rasa, science of sambhog and vipralamba. Sambhog is the happiness of meeting. And vipralamba is the happiness of separation, the ecstasy of separation. And there's various exchanges of meeting and separation, all intensifying feelings of love. But this Govardhan Leela, non-stop, 7 days and seven nights, every one of the devotees in Shantaras, Dashiras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, and Madhuryaras, they all have unbroken darshan of Krishna. They're so ecstatic. They don't eat anything. They don't drink anything. They don't sleep at all. They're so ecstatic. And Krishna is also so ecstatic. He's used to eating so many times a day. But he's not even thinking of eating. And no one's thinking of giving him anything. They're just so happy to be with Krishna. Very, very wonderful leela. Similar to the Kaliya Damana leela, where all the associates of Krishna simultaneously are seeing Krishna. Or when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, when Akrura takes Krishna, everybody comes, all the different rasas, and at once they're in an intense state, wanting to see Krishna remain in Vrindavan. So it's a very ecstatic pastime for that reason. Of course, that's for the Vrijbasis. Another very wonderful part of this Leela is, in this Leela, Krishna is showing three different forms of himself in the same place at the same time to the same people. There's Krishna, and there's Govardhan Hill, which is non-different than Krishna, and there's Hari, who Krishna manifests to accept all the offerings of the Vrijbasis, and he eats them all. And Krishna comes and pays obeisances to Krishna, who is the personification of Govardhan Hill, who is Krishna. It's very wonderful. Most wonderful. It's a crescendo of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Very wonderful festival. And it's all surrounding Govardhan Hill, because according to, well, according to the gopis, let's just say, if we were to ask the question, who is the best of Krishna's devotees? We might say Srimati Radharani. Or we might say Balaram, he's the direct expansion of Krishna. And he's always in the mood of wanting to serve Krishna. But when the gopis were asked the question, who is the best of Krishna's devotees? You know who they said? Govardhan Hill is the best of Krishna's devotees. That's authoritative. Why? Because Govardhan Hill serves Krishna in so many ways. In so many ways. The waters coming down the side of Govardhan Hill, the streams to get fresh water for the drinking of the cows and the cowherd boys. Caves on the side of Govardhan Hill with the cows. And Krishna and Balaram can go inside when it's so hot in the summer. They can nice, cool cave, or cold in the winter, and they can go inside and get warm. Or if it's raining, protection from the rain. So many minerals that they use for their family affairs. Fresh roots and herbs of all seasons. Fresh grasses for the cows. The gopis list these items. And in this way, they say, Govardhan is serving Krishna in every possible way. And so, we've gathered together to honor Krishna's wonderful pastime of lifting of Govardhan Hill. The pastime takes place the same day in the afternoon of the morning when the cowherd boys approach Krishna and say that they're hungry. Can you make some arrangement? We would like something to eat. So they go to the yajnik brahmanas. Krishna says, go to the yajnik brahmanas. Tell them, use my name. Krishna sent us. And ask them for something to eat. The yajnik brahmanas completely ignored Krishna. They didn't even say no. They didn't even speak anything. They were very rude because they were very proud. So the cowherd boys came back very disappointed and they told Krishna. He knew that's how they would respond. So he said, go say the same thing to the wives of the brahmanas. Surely they will take care of some arrangement. So that pastime, the wives of the brahmanas not only said yes, they made huge quantities and very happily came to supply Krishna, Balaram, and all the cowherd boys. And in that very place where the cowherd boys had their big feast served by the yajnik brahmana wives, Krishna, just down a little distance from Govardhan Hill, he saw Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men making a big arrangement for some yajna. So, although Krishna was certainly, he's omniscient. He knew exactly what was going on. Still, he inquired from his father in a very humble way. And he said, "My dear father, kindly explain to me, what is this great endeavor of yours? Is it a ritual sacrifice? Then for whose satisfaction is intended? And by what means is it going to be executed?" The further detail is, he asked this question. Listen carefully. He said, is this a sacrifice that's of family tradition, or is a sacrifice that is enjoined in the Vedas?" Now, Prabhupada comments that there are many things that are done in life that are just family tradition. It doesn't mean because it's family tradition, dismiss it. But it's not as strong, it doesn't carry the same weight. If it's enjoined in the Vedas, you must do it. And if it's family tradition, you should do it. But you must do things that are enjoined in the Vedas. Then he says, if it's enjoined in the Vedas, then I have a second question. The second question is, what's the purpose of this sacrifice? Because even if you do something that's enjoined in the Vedas, and you don't know the purpose behind that something, you don't get the benefit. So I want to know, what is the purpose behind this yajna? And you're my father. It's your duty to teach me. And in family matters, there's no secrets. So please tell. Whatever is the situation. I have a great desire to know, and I am ready to hear in good faith. Certainly no secrets are to be kept by saintly persons who see themselves as equal to themselves, who have no conception of mine and another's, and who do not consider who is a friend and who is an enemy and who is neutral. So Nanda Maharaj replied, Indra, he's the king of heaven and he's in charge of the rain. And my dear son, we're an agricultural community. We're dependent upon the rain. So when Indra sends us plentiful rain, it would be ungrateful if we didn't offer our respects unto him. So we've gathered the ingredients just according to the codes of the Vedas to offer sacrifice unto Indra. We offer grain and other paraphernalia of worship produced from the very supply of rain that Indra gives. We're just offering back to Indra what Indra has helped us to produce. This is a religious principle based upon the Vedas. So anyone who rejects such a principle based upon the Vedas out of lust, enmity, fear, or greed will certainly fail to achieve good fortune. That's Nanda Maharaja's explanation. And you know what Krishna said in response? Krishna heard his father, and then Krishna started speaking atheistic philosophy. Did you know that? Krishna started speaking karma mimamsa philosophy. You've heard of karma mimamsa philosophy? Jaimini? Karma mimamsa philosophy. The philosophy goes like this. Whether there's God or not God, it doesn't matter. What matters is work. If there's God, then he is obliged to supply according to your good work. If there's not God, it doesn't matter. What matters is good work. So do good work, my father. That's what we should do. We should worship work. You've heard of that one before. Work is worship. Karma mimamsa philosophy. Even if there is some supreme controller who awards all others the results of their activities, he must also depend upon the performers engaging in activity. After all, there's no question of being the bestower of fruitive results unless fruitive activities have actually been performed. So here's Krishna speaking before his father in the assembly of the learned elders of Vrindavan. He goes on, karma mimamsa philosophy. There, according to our karma, we receive a type of body, a high-grade body, a low-grade body, somewhere in between body. And based upon karma, we see others as our friend or our enemy or neutral. Therefore, one should seriously worship work itself. It's atheistic philosophy. Why is Krishna speaking atheistic philosophy? He's got so many philosophies. Why atheistic philosophy? It's not that Krishna wants us to follow such an atheistic philosophy. He's just neutralizing his father's idea of worshiping Indra. But what he's saying is, since our livelihood depends upon Govardhan Hill, so we should worship Govardhan Hill. He explains, impelled by the mode of passion, the clouds pour down their rain everywhere, and by this rain all creatures gain their sustenance. What has the great Indra to do with this arrangement, my dear father? Our home is not in the cities or towns or villages. Being forest dwellers, we always live in the forest and on the hills. Therefore, may a sacrifice for the pleasure of the cows, the brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill begin. All the paraphernalia you've gathered for worshipping Indra, let's worship Govardhan Hill, the cows and the brahmanas. Jiva Goswami comments that Nanda Maharaj had such affection for Krishna, he was ready to do whatever Krishna said. So he made a proposal. How about this? We'll use half and worship Indra, the other half will do like you say. Krishna said, no. Just worship Govardhan Hill and the cows and the brahmanas. Take all the ingredients, all the grains and ghee and dairy products, and make cooked foods and sweet rice and vegetable soups, and make many kinds of fancy cakes and baked and fried and prepare everything, milk products. Make a big offering for Govardhan Hill. And invite the brahmanas, and they'll chant Vedic mantras to make everything auspicious. Invoke the sacrificial fires with Vedic mantras, and then feed the priests. And after you fed the priests, feed the cows and offer the cows and the priests many gifts. And after giving such charity away, then even the dogs and dog eaters, feed them sumptuously. Everyone should have nice prasad. And we'll worship Govardhan Hill. So here's little Krishna, along with his brother Balaram, describing to Nanda Maharaj how the Govardhan Puja should be performed. After everyone has eaten to his satisfaction, dress yourselves very nicely, decorate yourselves very nicely, smear your body with sandalwood paste, and then parikrama of Govardhan Hill, circumambulating with the cows and the brahmanas. Shukadeva Goswami explains, Krishna, who is himself powerful time, desired to destroy the power of Indra. Krishna's omniscient. He's looking like a little boy, but he knows exactly what Indra's reaction is going to be. Indra's going to be very angry. But Krishna knows in advance. Indra's going to be angry, and he knows what to do. So Nanda Maharaj did exactly what Krishna was recommending. Keep the door closed. The cowherd community then did all that Madhusudan had suggested. They arranged for the brahmanas to recite the auspicious Vedic mantras, using the paraphernalia that had been intended for Indra's sacrifice, they presented offerings to Govardhan Hill and the brahmanas with reverential respect. They also gave grass to the cows. Then placing the cows, bulls, and calves in front of them, they circumambulated Govardhan Hill. Here's the Goshal of Nanda Maharaj. It looks like a palace. You should read what the Goshal of Nanda Maharaj, it's like a palace with jewels studded in the walls, and because they're Krishna's cows, worshipped. Fabulously opulent Goshal. More pictures of the cows being worshipped according to Krishna's indication. Then they circumambulated Govardhan Hill with the brahmanas chanting their mantras, and all the ladies with their finest dresses and ornaments. Following behind were the wagons drawn by oxen. And what were they doing? Singing the glories of Krishna the whole way. Then, just to satisfy and convince Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherdsmen that this wasn't just some mere sentiment, Krishna manifested this huge form of Lord Hari, as big as the mountain. And then he called out, "I am Govardhan Hill." And all the offerings that had been prepared, he ate them. And they were all gone. And then he asked for more. You know this Leela from Govardhan Parikrama? There's a place, when you go around Govardhan Hill, there's a place called Anior. And in the local language, that means more. I want more. So, Lord Hari is asking for more. What do? You get more? But they had already given everything that they had. They went to their storerooms, whatever they could find. They quickly gathered and made some more, and made big offerings, placed it before Lord Hari. And he ate it all at once. And then he called out, "Anior, Anior, I want more." And the Brijbasis didn't know what to do. So they went to the brahmanas. The brahmanas didn't know what to do, because there was nothing more. The brahmanas consulted Balaram. Balaram knew what to do. He said, "Take one tulsi leaf and place that one tulsi leaf in the hand of Sri Hari. He will be satisfied." So they did. And he was very satisfied. While he was taking this mountain, Anukut, big, big piles and piles of rice and rotis and North Indian sabjis and everything, cakes and sweet rice and so many nice things, "I am Govardhan Mountain, Anior, Anior." Krishna himself, just to show the residents of Vrindavan, came before this form of Lord Hari and paid his obeisances at his feet. Following him, all the other Brijbasis came to the feet of Sri Hari and paid their obeisances. And Krishna declared, "Just see. When have you seen Indra? You perform this Indra Yajna every year, but have any of you seen Indra? But just see, we worship Govardhan Hill, and here he is in person. Just see how merciful he is. We should worship Govardhan Hill every year. This Govardhan Hill, assuming any form he wishes, will kill any residents of the forest who neglect him. Therefore, every year, let us pay our obeisances to him for the safety of ourselves and our cows." So I hope everyone circumambulated around Govardhan Hill in the temple room. We wouldn't want any problems. there was so much loving Krishna, Lord Vasudev, that they did whatever he indicated. And so, after the Govardhan Puja celebration was over, everyone went back to their respective homes in their local villages.
Then Indra became very angry.
Indra understood that this little impudent boy, whoever he is, has stopped my sacrifice intended for me. Accepting Krishna as their Indra instead of me, he called for the Sambartaka clouds. They came before him with folded hands. Normally, according to the section of the Bhagavatam, they're kept restrained because they're so dangerous. He released that restraint, summons them to come, go and destroy the whole of Braja. Kill all the cows, all the brahmanas, all the residents of Braja, and that little boy. Kill them all. Sambartaka didn't want to do that. But he didn't want to disobey Indra. So under Indra's order to destroy the prosperity, the pride, the arrogance of these residents of Vrindavan, bring their animals and the whole village to destruction. Then he said, I will follow you on my Airavata elephant. And bringing with me, I'll bring swift winds, so it'll not only be torrential rains, but hurricane volume winds and lightning. We will destroy that village. Shukadeva Goswami described, on Indra's order, the clouds of universal devastation, released untimely from their bonds, went to the cowherd pastures of Nanda Maharaj. There they began to torment the inhabitants by powerfully pouring down torrents of rain upon them. The torrents of rain is not just like when you have your rainy season here. According to the description of the Bhagavatam, it was like pillars of rain. Like pillars. Volumes of rain were coming down. They're supposed to be sound. If this was working properly, you would hear. Anyway, lightning and thunder. Clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones, hailstones as big as soccer balls. And it was hitting on Govardhan Hill when Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill. Our acharyas describe, because Govardhan was in such ecstasy, he didn't feel anything. The wind was blowing so hard, but the trees were in so much ecstasy at the touch of Krishna's hand, they didn't move. Indra was completely frustrated. The rain was coming down as thick as massive columns. And the whole of Vrindavan was being submerged in floods with fierce winds, dark clouds, lightning bolts, hailstones coming down. So in that situation, what did the Brijvasis do? Krishna! What should we do? Our animals that are for our protection, they're in great danger. Everything is very cold. The ladies of our community, they're also in great danger. What should we do? Krishna! Trembling from the distress brought about by the severe rainfall, trying to cover their heads and their calves with their own bodies, the cows approached the lotus feet of Krishna. The cowherd men addressed Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. Immediately Krishna could understand. This is Indra's business. And because we stopped Indra's sacrifice, he's now angry with me. And unseasonable, devastating rain is coming. But it's my duty to protect the residents of my devotees, and the residents of Vrindavan are all my devotees. So I will counteract this trick of Indra and break his pride. I must protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency. For I am their shelter. I am their master. Indeed, they are my own family. After all, I've taken a vow to protect my devotees. So, Krishna very expertly walked over to Govardhan Hill and decided to lift Govardhan Hill. So he raised the hill of Govardhan. The Bhagavatam describes, just like a child might pick up a mushroom, toadstool, call it, what do you call it here? Mushroom, okay. In Prabhupada translated, it's a frog's umbrella. When it's raining, the frogs go underneath the mushroom, so it's the frog's umbrella. He lifted up Govardhan, just as easy as that. Yeah. So there's many nice pictures of Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill. Then he called out, O Mother, O Father, O residents of Braja, if you wish, you may now come under this hill with all your cows. So at Krishna's invitation, they all gathered their household paraphernalia and their cows and their children and their families and came rushing under Govardhan Hill just for protection. Nice paintings, huh? Meanwhile, the rain is coming down in torrents. Krishna said to them, Don't have any fear. This mountain will not fall from my hand. And don't be afraid of the wind and the rain. Your deliverance for these afflictions has already been arranged. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, There's so much rain, everything is flooding. When Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, how come the rainwater didn't come underneath the hill? And the answer is that Krishna arranged for his Sudarshan Chakra to go around the hill so fast, with such heat that all the water was evaporating and everything stayed dry underneath Govardhan Hill. And one of the places around Govardhan Hill, at Manasi Ganga, is the place where Sudarshan, at the end of the Govardhan Lila, wanted to take rest. So he rested by the side of Manasi Ganga. And they were all very happy. They felt so safe and protected in Krishna's shelter. They went underneath the hill, where they found sufficient room for the whole of Brajadham to fit underneath the hill of Govardhan. And how was that possible? The answer is given is because when the hill of Govardhan was feeling the hand of Krishna beneath him, he was in ecstasy. So the hill of Govardhan expanded in an ecstatic mood. And as the hill of Govardhan expanded, everyone was able to fit underneath. And as they were standing, observing Krishna, they didn't have a care in the world. They didn't care for eating. They didn't care for sleeping. They didn't care for any personal pleasure. They were just fixing and feasting their eyes upon the beautiful form of Krishna, lifting Govardhan Hill. Shukadeva Goswami says, Lord Krishna held the mountain while his praises were being chanted by the residents of Braja, all of whom had the opportunity to dwell together with him and who glanced at him with joyful, amazed eyes. In the front is Nanda and Yashoda. Somehow the focus is not so good. Krishna, we can tell. There's Indra. Some of the cowherd boys were thinking, Krishna thinks he's so strong, but actually, it's because we're holding up Govardhan Hill with our sticks. There was one Nila where Lota Baba was thinking like that. So Krishna started to lower the Govardhan Hill. As it was going down and down and down and down, he couldn't hold it up. Then when Krishna started lifting it again, he could understand it. It was Krishna, not him. For 7 days and seven nights, uninterruptedly, the cowherd village devotees of all different ages and all different rasas and all different moods of love, of service to Krishna, were able to see him. One description is from Nectar of Devotion. Krishna, out of the corner of his eye, he was looking at the gopis. And then he saw Balaram smiling. So then he thought, Balaram knows what I'm doing. He knows my mind. And Krishna blushed. And Balaram could understand that Krishna was thinking like this. So like that, Krishna's hand began to tremble, feeling ashamed, shy. And everyone became very fearful. Krishna held the Govardhan Hill steady. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that 7 days of continuous rain from the Sambartika clouds failed to flood the district of Mathura because the Supreme Lord simply by his potency immediately dried up the water as it fell to the ground. Yeah, we read this. So, more beautiful pictures. Again, Indra up here. Thus, Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill is full of fascinating details and has for thousands of years remained one of his most famous pastimes. Prabhupada writes that in the Krishna book. Ordinarily, a large cowherd community, which includes many thousands of cows, calves, bulls, and so on, could not fit under the base of a medium-sized hill like Sri Govardhan, but because Govardhan expanded, everyone fit underneath. It's a very famous Leela, so there's many very beautiful paintings depicting Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill. This is a unique one. The gopis had the opportunity, even in the midst of all of the others, members of the Braja, to sing for Krishna and to appreciate, feast their eyes upon Krishna. So here's Radha being worshipped and Krishna's casting a sidelong glance upon Srimati Radharani. The residents of Vrindavan were simply astonished to see how Krishna was holding the mountain with his little finger of his left hand. One of the cowherd boys said, Krishna, your left arm must be getting tired. Can you at least shift to your right arm? And then we can massage your left arm. Would that be all right? Krishna just smiled. As if someone can lift a mountain and need their arm to be massaged. At time, Govardhan Hill was not even aware that the thunderbolts were striking. This is, I mentioned. He felt just, he was in such ecstasy. It was not even making any difference. Paintings and paintings and paintings and paintings. More paintings. When Indra's attack began and Krishna lifted the hill, the deer, wild hogs and other animals and birds standing on the hill's flanks climbed up to its peaks. And even they did not experience the slightest distress. The trees, the fierce wind, and the trees were just standing erect. No damage at the end of that storm. Very beautiful painting. Cowherd boys are having kirtan, singing the praises of Krishna. In Hari Vamsa, Krishna himself is quoted as saying, Sri Govardhan can give shelter to all the three worlds, what to speak of the simple land of Braja. So finally, at the end of the 7 days, Indra had a realization. His realization was, this little boy is not just a little boy. I was thinking impudent little boy. But actually, anyone that can do what he's doing is not a little boy. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I've made a big mistake. So he called back the Samvartaka cloud. And as the clouds went away, the sun came out. And as the sun came out, there's the sun coming out. There's Indra down here, offering his dandavats. And Airavata over here. Krishna then instructed everybody, everything is okay. The rain has ceased. The land is now drying up. The sun is risen. And everyone can come out from underneath Govardhan Hill. After they had exited from Govardhan Hill, Krishna very, very expertly placed Govardhan Hill in exactly the same place that it had been. The residents of Vrindavan were in ecstasy. After Krishna replaced the hill of Govardhan, they came forward, as you see, anointing Krishna's forehead with sandalwood paste, offering him beautiful garlands. Some were embracing him. Some bowed down to him. The women gave scented water and water mixed with yogurt, with unbroken barley corns, like an auspiciousness to honor the wonderful feat that Krishna had performed. There's part two of this leela, but we're not going to have time. When Indra comes to offer his prayers to Krishna, asking for forgiveness for his big offense. We'll do that another time because of the time limits. So the whole Govardhan Leela is an exhibition of wonderful loving dealings with his devotees. As we said earlier this morning, Krishna is expert when he does one thing, simultaneously he's doing many things. And he was exchanging loving reciprocation with his devotees. He was showing that Krishna will always protect his devotees. And he was curbing the pride of Indra. And he's also giving an opportunity for Surabhi, the transcendental cow from the spiritual world, to come and offer her abhishek of Krishna. So many things at the same time. So that is Krishna's Leela. And that is what makes this pastime so glorious and so wonderful and so celebrated. Giri Govardhan ki jai. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.
His Holiness Rompad Maharaj ki jai.